have your Bibles in John chapter 8, I'd like for you to turn, keep your finger there. That's where we're going to start today. We're going to end up in Colossians chapter 1. I'd like to read you this verse, a couple verses. Verse 9, Colossians 1:9. The New Testament, about middle ways back. Verse 9, Paul says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Heard what? That they'd been saved and that they were growing in the Lord. "Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom." So Paul says, I want you to know the will of God for your life using God's wisdom he gives to you. And notice, and spiritual understanding. I want you to understand spiritual things. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing and the knowledge of God. And finally, verse 11, strengthened with all might. According to his glorious power. Power is the word dynamite. Unto all patience, long suffering, with joyfulness. That's what God wants for every Christian today. To have the power of God in your life with joy. To have the patience of God in your life with the wisdom to know you're in the will of God. That's for every teenager and every adult. I just don't see the joy that ought to be there. I don't see the wisdom that ought to be there. The good decisions. I'll tell you why. Because the devil's a liar. Now, if you go back to John chapter 8, you're going to notice something. If you have a red letter edition, you'll know who's speaking here. Who's speaking? Jesus Christ is. "Ye of your father, the devil, the lust of your father." He's speaking to the Pharisees. He's speaking to people that are putting on a show that they're religious. Notice, if you would, "You have your father, the devil, the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now take your Bible and turn to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, if you would please. Titus chapter 1. You're going to see the direct opposite. Verse 1 of Titus 1, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So you see on one hand that the devil is a liar and the father of it. He invented it. And then on the other hand, you see the God, the Father, that cannot lie. It's not in his nature. And here we are in the middle. Who are we going to be like? And the old devil says, you can't be like the Lord. The old devil begins to get us to understand the ways of the world. Now, I want you to see he lies to us about a few things. Number one, he lies to us about the definition of sin. The old devil's good at that. Remember, he's the father of lies, and the scripture says he is a liar and the father of it. When he speaketh of his own. Now, where is it that it got to be that immorality was okay? Where has it got to be that 50% of our young people now live together before they get married? Where is that right? It came from the old devil. He is a liar and the father of it. And he whispered in their ear, it's okay. And God says, no, it's not. And Christians are caught in the middle. And we ought not to be caught in the middle. And over here, he says, okay, homosexuality is okay. And the old devil says, look, we ought to love people. We ought to love people. We ought to love everybody, period. But we don't love the way they live. We ought to love murderers, but we don't love the sin they commit. And so over here, we love the Lord, and he loves us, but he doesn't love the sin we commit. But he does give us the power to live above sin, to live past sin. But the old devil says, you can't live like that. It's impossible. And our flesh stands in the middle and says, look, do what you want. And the old devil has got the world by the throat. He's got our children by the throat many times. He's got everybody believing you can't have a good marriage. That is a lie of the devil. You can. Oh, it takes sacrifice. It takes both parties saying, look, I've done some things that are wrong and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And it takes forgiveness from both parties. And it takes both parties to say, I'm going to give my best effort, my heart into it. And God says, and I'll fill in the blanks. The old devil says, can't be done. I went through that. I thought about, you know, I wanted to marry Susan, but I just ignored what I saw growing up because I had read the scriptures and I knew what God wanted. He wanted to live with joyfulness. The old devil says it can't be done. The Lord says it can be done. You can obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The old devil says, no, you don't need to do that. They, back here behind the school, in between us and the high school, they took down the fence because they put up a temporary construction fence. And the young people come through our parking lots. We put up signs, please don't come through the parking lot. Our lawyers say we're liable if someone comes through the parking lot and gets hit by a car, or if they go through our parking lot and get out there on the road and get hit by a car, that we're liable if they came through our property unless we put up an abundance of signs and let people know that it's not, we don't want you here. As far as you can't use our property. And so we've talked to the police next door and they put up the fence and they were putting up a new fence, and it's up now pretty well, but they got a gate there. They don't have the gate filled in yet. And so all the young people, because it's easier, parents will come right by the sign at the front, says no drop-off or pickup for Vernon High School. They'll come right by the sign, turn right, come up here, get in the parking lot, and park. And I walk over and say, please, would you not use it as a drop-off? And they're right in the middle of the travel lane. Our people coming up behind them, trying to get around them. Their kids getting walking out, and their cars are dodging them. So would you please not do that for us? We'd love to have you at church, but we have a private school here too, and it's difficult. And they look at me and say, why can't we use this? And so the police officer that operates at the school, he was walking there, and I said, hey, you know, we've got a lot of young people coming through. We're afraid one of them's going to get hit. And he says, I know. I said, could you talk to them? And I said, I tried to talk to them, and they ignore me. They walk by me. They act like they don't care. They'll come through the property. I said, look, please, would you go around? And they'll just put their head down and just keep right on walking, right on through. They totally ignore me. And he said, Pastor, they've been trained to ignore authority. His words. With a gun on his hip, I can't do anything with him. Where does that come from? Why is it that Fairfax County is down hundreds of police officers? Because there's no respect for authority. Where'd that come from? Satan, you're the authority. Whatever you want to do, you do it. It's a lie of the devil. Your parents, don't listen to them. It's a lie of the devil. I'm telling you that the old devil is over here trying to wreck everything in our lives, and he's doing a great job of it because people are believing the lies of the devil. And I want you to understand over here, the Lord is saying, no, that's not right. That's not what's right. And so we're in the middle trying to choose, and God loves us. He sent his son to pay our debt of sin. The old devil lies about that. And so we're in the middle, and we try to define sin, and sin gets moved all over the place. Obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. That's still right. The world can say it's not right. And you get around other kids and they start trashing their parents, remove yourself from those kids. It's not right. You get around other couples and they're, I grew up with the plumbers running their wives down and trashing them. And I go sit by myself. They say, "Why? What's wrong with you, man?" I said, "Well, I love my wife." And I remember one time I was around them. There's so much going on. Susan had given me she fixed my lunch and she gave me a banana. And the banana, she's used, I guess, a knife or I don't know what it was, but she wrote, "I love you" in the banana peel. And so I'm getting ready to pull it out. And this is the way the world affects you. Those guys are making fun of you because, you know, you're married and you're happy. And why do you love your wife? And, you know, I got an old lady you know, I tolerate her. You know, the garbage that goes on, where'd that come from? The old devil is lying to people. And so I pulled out my banana and saw it. You know what my reaction was? Stick it back in the bag. And I pulled it back out and I said, "I don't care if they see that." "Oh, you love your wife." "Yeah, I do." But the pressure of the world even affected my first thought. Put it back in the bag. I don't want them to see it. Do you understand today the old devil is putting pressure on our society? Millions of babies have been aborted. The old devil says, that's a mother's right. Where's that ever been right? Read Psalm 139. It's not right. But the Lord Jesus is saying, no, no. And here the old world is saying, yes, we want what we want. Where'd it come from? The father of all lies. The devil himself. Pornography. Rampant. People get to the end of themselves. Their guilty conscience, as we went over last week, is so defiled that they only have one way out. And the greatest cause of death among our young people is suicide. Why? The old devil's lying to them to get them into hell. And he's doing a great job of it. I want you to understand from Colossians chapter 1 that that's a lie, that you can't be happy, that you can't be strong in the Lord. I want to get there in just a minute. But I want you to notice he's lying about the definition of sin. He's lying about that. He wants to change what God said. God cannot lie. He can lie, does lie, and just throws in suggestions. The Lord said, "Adam and Eve, you can eat of any tree in the garden, but just don't eat of that one. It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And I don't want you to know anything about evil. The Lord left. They walked together in the cool of the evening. Sweet, sweet fellowship. The old devil slithered up. "Hath God said?" He just simply questioned the facts that God laid out. And it got Eve's heart. Do you understand? It's been that way from the first day. Because the devil's a liar. He lies about the definition of sin. He lies about the destruction of sin. Oh, you can get away with it. No wonder so many marriages are broken and miserable. I want you to understand something. I don't believe it has to be that way. If I did, I'd quit and go back to be a plumber. If I did, I'd go back and do something else. Why? I became a pastor was because there's hope in Jesus Christ, and I know it, and I've seen it, and I've lived it, and I want you to understand the Lord's telling you the truth. The devil's the liar. But if you listen to your flesh, you'll never be happy. Because the old devil's the one feeding your flesh. It's natural. We're envious and bitter and we've got to get that out of our lives. And the Lord Jesus says, "I'll help." We're disobedient. We're rebellious. It can be a wife. It can be a husband. It can be children. It can be ball players. Have you ever heard of the word uncoachable? That's a great player, got a lot of ability, but he'll never be great because he wants to do it his way. And teams don't win by great players. They win by great teams. They work together. Oh, sure, a great player can elevate a great team, but he's got to do it within the scope of work that's there. Everybody doing their part. And so a great coach is one that gets everybody to believe. You can do it. Take what you can do and put it here. And we can make a difference. And the Lord Jesus says, take what you can do and put it here. And we can reach the world. Why are we not reaching the world? Because we're putting our peace where we want. The old devil says, yeah, that's right. That's your right. If someone doesn't treat you right, it's your right to despise them. The only problem is that's a lie. It's your right to forgive them because you're God's child. Bitterness affects the body's physical makeup. There have been people I've known that have gotten bitter about things and ruined them. Look at Jonah's life. Jonah got so bitter, he wanted a city of hundreds of thousands of people to die and go to hell. And God says, Jonah, I want you to preach to them. He did, but he did it under protest in his heart. And he went and they repented of their sin and got saved. And he was mad at God as a result. And the Lord says, do you do right to do mad to be mad? He said, yes, I do right to be mad. It's okay for me to be mad. And you never hear another word about Jonah after that. God wrote him off. You see, the old devil says, look, you may do what God says, but don't be happy about it. The Bible says, I want you to honor me and walk with me, and I'll give you the joy of your soul. The old devil says, it's not true. You can't be truly happy. What about Samson? Samson, I'm going to make you a great, strong man. I need you to serve me. He says, okay, I'll make me a girl. Oh, that's a beautiful woman over there. Hey, Dad, get her for me. But son, that woman doesn't know the Lord. She's not saved. She's not doing what's right. I don't care. Get her for me. Then he got rid of her. Then he got another woman. Got rid of her. He didn't marry them. Just lived with them. And he thought because of his great strength, he was above the destruction of sin. One night he was with a woman, heard that the enemy was coming, walked up to the gates, city gates, put his shoulders on them and pulled them out of the ground and walked off with them and dropped them and kept right on going. See, that's what I can do. Nothing touches me. And then the old devil got a beautiful woman called Delilah. Got him in her lap. Fed him milk. Sweet things, whispered in his ear. Where's your great strength? Finally, she broke him down and told her. Ask Samson if there's a price of sin while he's pushing in the place of the oxen to grind meal with both eyes put out. Sin's destructive. Have you ever thought about why God allowed his eyes to be put out? Because all he did was lust with them. God said, if you don't use them for me, I'll take them away. There is destruction because of sin. The Bible teaches it, and we can say I don't believe it, but I can take my finger in that light switch, that bulb up there, and undo the light bulb and put my finger in it and say, I don't believe it'll shock me, and I'll turn brown. Oh, I guess that wasn't true. The old devil can lie to you, and he's lying to our young people. Don't obey your parents. He's lying. Now, let me tell you this. I expect the old devil to do. He always comes after me when I preach a message like this. He always comes after me. I don't know what to expect. I'm just asking the Lord to protect me because I know the old devil hates when you talk about him. How many of you remember when I would preach about Job? I remember preaching about Job. My wife would say, honey, could you not preach about Job this week? because I'd like to have a good week. I got to go to the doctor. And I don't want you to preach about Job. If you would, just think about it. Now, if the Lord wants you to, okay. I'll just get under a box and stay there all week. But I don't want you to preach about Job this week, because every time I bring up the old devil, it just comes after you. But it's important today, and the Lord laid this on my heart, that sin is destructive. It destroys people. It destroyed Samson. It destroyed Saul. Saul became king, and he had a sweet spirit, and he was a humble man, and he became king, and all of a sudden he figured out he could have total control and began to tell people what to do. And then David won a great victory for him when he couldn't win it. And instead of rejoicing over David, he became jealous of David and tried to kill David, and he lost his kingdom because of it. And God looked at him and said, when you were little in your own sight, how did that happen within a few years? Because sin is destructive. Shimei had a violent temper. David was coming out of the city, and he was a descendant of Saul, and he was bitter because David was now in the place of Saul, even though David didn't ask for it. It was given to him by God, and everybody knew that, but he was a descendant of Saul, and he wanted his part of the kingdom, and he was mad at David. So when David got thrown out by Absalom, David's walking out with a broken heart. Shimei gets on the other side of the valley and starts throwing dust and rocks and dirt and cussing at David. And one of David's mighty men said, hey, let me go over and take off his head. And David said, no, leave him alone. That'll get him one day. Sure enough, a little bit later, he comes to David and apologizes. He says, I'm so sorry, David. I shouldn't have said that. I know that you're now the king. When he came back in, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? David said, I forgive you. But he looked at Solomon. He said, Solomon, you watch that man. So Solomon said, okay, Dad, I'll watch him. So when he became king, Solomon called him in and said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. He said, I don't trust you. And I know you got a violent temper and you can't control it. Maybe somebody's here who's got a violent temper and you lose it. It'll destroy you. Give it to the Lord. Shimei said, no, Solomon, I don't get angry anymore. And Solomon said, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you build your house in Jerusalem, and you're welcome to stay there for the rest of your life. But if you go outside the city limits, you're a dead man, because I don't trust you. He said, oh, Dave, oh, Solomon, that's a wonderful idea. Thank you so much. Two of his servants skipped his ranch, farm, wherever it were, went outside the city limits. He got so mad. He got on his mule, went right through the city limits, tracked them down and brought them back, and never even thought about his death sentence hanging over his head. You know why? Because the temper stopped his thoughts. Solomon was told, Shimei went outside the city limits. Solomon called him in and said, Shimei, yes, King Saul. Yes, King Solomon. Yes. He said, didn't I tell you the day you went outside Jerusalem? Didn't I tell you your temper would get a hold of you and you'd mess up? Yes, I'm sorry. And he received capital punishment for his temper. Sin is destructive. Losing your temper has ruined many a home, many a marriage, many a brother and sister relationship. Stealing. Thievery. You know, it said that 90%, the polls say that 90% of every graduate from college has cheated to get through. 90%. Why do they do that? Because the devil said, everybody else is doing it, it must be okay. And they cheated. And God gave us example after example in the scriptures. He said, look, He said, I want you to take the city of Jericho, but I don't want you to touch anything in it because it's all corrupt. It's been offered to idols. It is corrupt. The people are wicked. I just don't want you to have anything to do with anything in the city. Not the gold, the silver, clothes, nothing. You take the gold and the silver and you put it in the treasure of the Lord's house. And he said, we'll cleanse it because it can be cleansed, but none of the clothing, none of the stuff like that, none of the food, nothing. Don't touch it. All the animals been offered to idols, no animals. Achan goes in, sees a Babylonian garment, gold and silver, steals it, takes it, puts it underneath his tent floor, and Israel loses a battle and 36 men died. It's the battle of Ai because one man stole. When it was found out, Joshua looked at him and said, you have stolen and you've cost Israel great, great joy and great pride, and you've cost 36 men their lives, and they took him out and stoned him. I'm sure when he was thinking about it, he thought it was okay. How about lying itself? Gehazi. Remember, Elijah asked him, look, I want you to go and heal that boy. Elisha, go heal the boy, Gehazi. And Gehazi, you know, tried to take the staff of Elisha and he went to heal the boy that was dead and he couldn't do it. And the mother could see through it and said, I don't want him. I want you, Elisha. I don't trust him. That was before he stole. He lied. What happened when Gehazi walked away? After getting caught in his lies and stealing, he became a leper as white as snow. You know, you won't find one record there. Oh, I'm sorry, Elisha. Forgive me. Miriam did the same thing. She talked about Moses, and Miriam and Aaron said, I'm sorry, and they were forgiven, and their leprosy was removed. But you don't find Gehazi ever saying, I'm sorry. He lived with leprosy the rest of his life. You want to know why? He lied. I'm sure he didn't think that sin was that destructive. And even when he got leprosy, he says, well, I'm rich. I got leprosy, but I got stuff. Doesn't say he ever gave it back, offered it back. Sin will ruin your heart. It'll ruin your heart toward your husband. It'll ruin your heart toward your wife. It'll ruin your heart toward your parents. Sin is as destructive as anything in the known to man. Because God said, here's what I want you to do. And sin is everything outside that. Ultimately, Satan has said, there is no hell. You don't have to worry about that. I've heard my own friends say, hell is a figment of your imagination. Do you believe in a heaven? Oh, sure. But no hell. The same God that talked about heaven talked about hell. I don't believe that. Where'd they get it? The old devil lied to them. He's a liar and the father of it. You take your Bible and you read through it. When it says thou shalt not lie, and don't lie. When it says thou shalt not steal, don't steal. When it says thou shalt not covet, don't covet. Now, our nature says it's okay, but our spirit says no. And with the battle goes on and rages back and forth. I want you to see the old devil lies about sin, about the destruction of sin. He lies about the definition of sin, the destruction of sin. And he lies about the deliverer from sin. Why is it you think 80% of the time, maybe 90% of the time, I witness to someone, hey, if you were to go to heaven, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? Well, I'm working at it. Where'd they get that? Well, the old devil said, look, you can work your way to heaven. And God said, no, you can't. I sent my son to pay your debt of sin. It's a free gift. Well, but you know, I don't really accept things that are free. I want to pay for everything that I get. Well, then you won't get to heaven. Because heaven is a gift. And so Yeah, but I don't want this. I want to be able to do it myself. Well, so then there's religions. Well, light this candle. Here's $20. Light this candle. Here's an indulgence. Here's, give me $50 and you can commit that sin and it's okay and it'll be forgiven. It'll be forgiven in advance. You know, buy an indulgence. That's where the Church of Rome was built, with indulgences. Where did that come from? The old devil. Martin Luther was one that wrote the thesis and put him on the door at Wittenberg and says, this isn't according to Scripture. And they banned him for it. You want to know why? Because it's very difficult to stand up and say, the devil's a liar, and I'm not going to listen to him. But if you listen, it will destroy you. And if you say, I want to work my way to heaven, I'll do my best. It's a balance between you take my good and my bad and put it on the balance, and I think I'm doing pretty good. What about Jesus? Well, yeah, he's good too. You know, the Bible says that Brandon brought up this morning, they were coming into the Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and all the people took palm branches and laid them before him, and they had their clothes in front of him, and they were rejoicing and they were praising him, and they were saying, praise the Lord, we've now got the Messiah, he's come. And the Pharisees in the crowd says, would you tell them, Jesus, would you rebuke these people and tell them stop doing this? He said, if I say something to them, the rocks are going to cry out. Even nature knew it was the Messiah. But you know, it wasn't very long. And the Pharisees said, he's a liar. He's not Jesus. Did you know they said he's blasphemous? The fact that he would claim to be God is blasphemy. After he had healed the dead, raised the sick, he had healed the sick. He had stopped the wind and the water. He had proven that he was God himself, and they still wouldn't believe it. You want to know why? Because they rather believe a lie. And today, people still believe in the same old lies. You can live in immorality and it's okay. It's not. You can take drugs and it's okay. It's not. You can get bitter. It's not. You can hate people, it's not. You can be despiteful to people, you can lose your temper, you can be angry, it's not. It's not right. And you can say, I'm going to work my way to heaven, and you will not. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'd like to trust Christ as Savior, you can do that today. You can be saved this morning and know you're on your way to heaven according to what God has promised you. God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. That's what Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says. He promised before the world began. He says, I'm going to make a way that you can come to heaven and be with me, but it will cost me my son. And you'll just have to humble yourself and say, Lord, I need to be saved. Would you save me? And I'll forgive you. Well, that's too easy. It's not too easy if you live in Africa and you've never seen two nickels together. It's not too easy if you live in Papua New Guinea and you've only got one t-shirt and nothing else, and that's all you've ever had. You could never get to church because there's not one around you. So a missionary comes and tells you that Jesus is the way, and all of a sudden you say, oh, I like that. And it totally changes people's lives. I want you to also see, he lies about the delights of the Christian life. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6. I want you to see this. We're going to turn to a couple passages. I just want you to see this very quickly. Romans chapter 6. I want you to notice this. Look at me if you would. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And the old devil says you can't have victory. There are people that sit in this room regularly that were hung up on pornography and they've been delivered from it by spending time with the Lord. And there are people that even this day I'm working with in pornography and just take the scriptures and begin to work with them. And there's a plan for about a year, and all of a sudden they get victory over it. And they come in and sit down and say, Pastor, it's wonderful to be able to look your wife in the eye and say, I don't have that sin in my heart anymore, and her have a peace in her heart. The old devil says, can't be done. Everybody does that. The devil's a liar. That's the reason whenever young people hear somebody say, God made me, I'm a homosexual and God made me that way, that's a lie. God didn't. The old devil said it. And it's time you and I look at God's word and say, Lord, I'm going to believe what you say. Now, we're going to love everybody. We're going to love people and try to reach out to them and see them saved. I'm glad somebody loved me because I was a sinner. I was just a good sinner. Ever heard of that? I was a church sinner. I came to church, but I was on my way to hell. How many of you are good church sinners and you got saved? Would you raise your hand? Let me see it up. Put it up. Put it up. Put it up. Good night. Good church sinners. There's a bunch of us. But you know what? God loves us just like he loved Aaron's wife, Miriam. Forgave Miriam. He loved us just like he loved, you name anybody in Scripture, God loved him. He loved Judas. He wanted to see Judas saved. But Judas wouldn't have it. Do you know why? He was a thief, the Bible says. He'd rather be a thief than go to heaven. Today, I want you to see you can walk with victory in your life. In verse number 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Look, if you would, in verse number 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are? If you yield yourself to the devil, you're going to be his servant. He's going to tell you what to do. I mean, I went to school with drug addicts that had gotten saved and their whole life changed because they said, I don't want that anymore. And the Lord Jesus said, come with me and I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make you strong enough to be able to look at drugs and say, no more. Alcoholics, I can cure the alcoholic. I was talking this week to a friend of mine. And daughter-in-law was in a terrible accident. Our staff prayed for her. And he called me. Hadn't talked to him in a long time. He called me and says, Dave, would you pray for my daughter-in-law? She's in the hospital and both legs are broken, her neck's broken, and just got a lot of issues. Would you pray that God could do something to help her get better, to let her get stronger? Sure we would. And I talked to him recently, and he said, Dave, she's getting better. Said they don't think they're going to have to do surgery on her neck. They've got her in a halo, but they think it'll heal. And I said, wonderful. We'll just keep praying. And I made some comment, and he paused. And he said, Dave, I haven't had a drink in 41 years. He said, the Lord Jesus saved me and delivered me. I just want you to know that. He was the first young couple, he and his wife, when I was in Memphis, 40 years ago, we asked to work with our youth group. He was a furniture salesman. And he had some dark past. But the Lord began to work on his life. And he said, Dave, I want to do what's right. I want to be free of sin. And I said, I want you to know something. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which is delivered unto you, being then made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. And he said, that's what happened to me. I want you to understand, you can be clean. You can have every sin washed away. You can be a Christian and had a dirty week or a dirty month or a dirty year and come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. And he'll blot it all out again. He'll wipe it away. He'll give you a clean conscience. And tomorrow you can be as white as a sheet of paper, clean, white as the new snow, he said in Isaiah 1, verse 18. He said, look, come down to me, all you that labor. I want you to be clean. I want you to be free of sin. I'll give you the power to do it. It was Jesus that told Paul to write, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, my question is, do you believe that? If you do, you can be the greatest wife in all the world. You can be the greatest husband in all the world. You can be the greatest daughter or son or employee. The question is, who do we believe today? The liar or the truth? the person that embodies the truth. I remember as a young boy hearing my parents fight and argue. I went to my bedroom, got on my knees, and began to cry and plead with the Lord to stop it. The Lord allowed my parents' home to break up. It wasn't what he wanted, but it doesn't make us do right. You know what I learned? I said, that is not the way God wants us to live. I studied the scriptures, and I looked for a girl that believed the same thing, and that changed my life. And I'm here to tell you today that there's a God in heaven that will give you the strength to do what is right and will give you the power to believe what is right and give you the strength to walk with him, and you can have the joy of the Lord that the world is missing. Today, do you have the joy of the Lord? Are you worried about things? Are you burdened about things? Jesus himself said, come unto me. Are you that labor and heavy laden? I'll give you rest. He said, I want you to talk with me. He's given us an open door policy to sit down with Jesus Christ. And he said, in all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Do we believe that? God is not a liar. Oh, sometimes he says, wait. And sometimes we pray in the flesh, this is what I want. But every time we pray and say, Lord, I want what you want, but if it be your will. Even Jesus was told no. Son, you got to die. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Son, it's not possible. So it's possible for us to pray for the wrong things or things that we just share our heart with the Lord to let him know what we want. But God says, I always will do what's best for you. Today, who are you going to believe? The devil or your sweet Heavenly Father? But he said, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. If you need to come this morning, talk with the Lord. Maybe you believed a lie. Maybe you haven't had the courage to do what's right. Maybe you haven't had the courage to say, I'm sorry. Maybe you haven't had the courage to forgive. Whatever's in your heart, you come this morning. Maybe you need to come and be a part of our church. You need to join our church. We'd love to have you. You come. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts. You're the only one that can touch our hearts and give us the strength to do what is right. And I pray that you do that. Lord, make us a church family that's joyful because we're clean, because we're pleasing to you, Lord. You said we could walk worthy. Lord, we can't do that without you, but with you all things are possible. Speak to hearts. Lift us with joy today. In your name we pray. Amen.